Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I've got our worship leader from the church with us today, our special guest, and has been on the program before, but we're really glad to have you today, Joseph Poole.
Hey, everybody. It's good
Joseph,
to be back here.
How are you, man?
It's fantastic. It's been a day, but you know what? It's good, man. It's good. God is good.
It's one of those days, but you're going to worship through it,
that's
right?
That's right. We have to.
Because that's the topic today. I want to talk today about worship.
All right.
You know, you brought the topic, but you know, I just feel like we're going to have a lot to say about this topic, so I'm diving right in.
Come on.
If you need to catch us, you can go to the website at ourlighthouse.net, or you know, we're listening live probably right now on 91.5 FM, and they keep it in their archives as well on WMIEFM.com. So let's dive in, Joe, because you know, you're the worship leader here at Lighthouse Church, and I've seen your life. Your life is a display of worship. We've done worship in a lot of different ways. We've done everything from heavy metal worship to the most intimate acoustic and styles like that. I actually like to jump in and worship with the band sometimes, you know,
that's so
in
much
church.
Fun.
And
I know.
I really
that.
Enjoy that. But tell us your heart as a worship leader on worship, and what does worship mean to you, man?
Well, worship is a lifestyle, first and foremost. It's also the beginning of a battleground. You are forcing yourself and pushing into the presence of God. So Webster Dictionary actually defines the word worship in this way. It's to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, and devotion. With that worship, there's multiple styles, like you were just talking about. We have our heavy metal worship, but we have these intimate, soft moments. We have different avenues that we're able to bring to the Father, where we're able to pour out our spirit and pour out our hearts before the King. And sometimes it comes from a place of passion. Sometimes it comes from a place of brokenness. Sometimes it comes from a place of pain, of love, of adoration. But ultimately, it's because, I mean, we were made to worship. We were born and created to worship. I mean, it says that in Psalm 71, 7 through 8. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long.
I love that. You know, the Bible tells us to, you know, pray without ceasing. But I feel like, man, there should be a level of worship without ceasing that's talked about there in that scripture as well. You know, is your mouth filled with praise for the Lord and declaring, you know, his splendor all day long, his greatness, his majesty, his holiness. There's just, you know, because we're really, you know, kind of kicked off started by talking about worship music maybe or worship styles, but worship is a lifestyle. And there's so many more things that are involved in it. But you know, the Bible says that all of the earth worships the Lord in adoration and wonder.
That's right. It's you can find that in actually Psalm 100. You know, it says to shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. You know, we are called to cry out. I mean, the rocks will cry out if we do not.
I believe that.
Like wholeheartedly, the earth itself, if you ever stop and take a look, actually we just did this last week, Pastor Kevin, where we went outside straight out through the sanctuary doors and we saw this beautiful picture that had been painted in the sky of oranges and blues. And that was a form of creation and his creation worshiping him because of this picture that had been painted.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's
for
the
sure.
splendor of his glory being displayed in the atmosphere above us.
All creation does display his glory. I believe that. And, you know, for me, worship is, It's the heartbeat of what everybody's life should really be. Your heart should be beating worship. You should be, you know, God should be everything to us as believers in Jesus. We should be, you know, at any moment ready to surrender. I think surrender can be a great way to worship God, you know, in our lives. I think that we can worship God by being obedient.
That's right. And, well, it's sacrifice. It's an act of sacrifice to the Lord. And that's what we're doing. Chris Tomlin actually said something specifically about this, where God isn't moved by the quality of our voice, but the condition of our hearts.
Ooh, I like that.
So it's not about whether or not you're on pitch, whether your musical instruments are in tune. It's about the posture of your heart and where you are. So as you approach the throne room, how are you worshiping? How are you adoring? How are you glorifying the splendor, the sovereignty of the King?
Right. So, powerful stuff.
Right.
What are you doing to bring worship to God? Or what is the expression of your life? You know, I've had many times in my life when my life wasn't an expression of worship to God, but it was an expression of worship to other things. I've worshiped drugs. I've worshiped heavy metal singers and people. And, you know, I've participated in idolatry in different concerts and things that I went to as a heavy metal guy back in the day. And my life has not always been a life of worship to the Lord. Now thank you, Jesus, that my life is now.
Praise God.
For the most part. I mean, I even catch myself now at times. You know, you have to, not like in some deep rooted sin of idolatry, but you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, my focus got off God there a little bit. And am I worshiping him in this moment, or am I looking for self-gratification, or am I looking to bring attention to me, or am I looking to bring attention to God, you know? And I catch myself in moments like that, you know, because there's this creepy little thing in the world called pride that sneaks
in. It will creep up on you real fast.
With people, you know, in our lives, it can just creep in.
It's funny you were talking about the word attention, and anything that has gained your focus and attention, you will end up worshiping. You
nice.
Will focus your everything into that. So what you're putting into your eyes, what you're putting into your ears, what you're putting in through sometimes even your physical mouth, that is something that will spring up from inside of you. So if you're not in the Word, if you're not diving into your own worship, and I don't just mean corporate worship at a church service on Sunday morning, Saturday nights, Wednesday afternoon, whenever it is that you go, but diving in on your own, there are intimate moments that you can have with the Father in your quiet time that aren't just reading into the Word. Worshiping it's powerful. First and foremost, there's power in that. You can be in some of the darkest places ever, like ready to pull a gun and end it. Been there.
Right.
But worship will pull you through because it is approaching the throne room. And as you approach the throne room, you're getting closer to the feet of Jesus.
Sure.
And he takes everything that you have going on behind you and wipes it away.
Yeah. That's why I think worship is one of the greatest expressions of the grace of God that we can have. Worship says, I'm going to, in spite of my situation, in spite of my circumstances, I'm going to choose to take my eyes off of myself. I'm going to place it on God, and I'm going to place it on what Jesus has done for me and what he's done for the world. I mean, you know, I could spend my whole life just worshiping God and spending time just thinking about what God has done for me in my life and never reach out to anyone else. You know, I could stay in my little worship closet. But I think the bottom line is this: the world, the lost, the dying world of earth needs to see the people of God worshiping God, because they're looking for something. They're worshiping all kinds of things out there. You know, I'm always taken back to the story in, you know, when they were going to go up the mountain and the cloud descended down on the mountain and the Lord came into there and God said, tell them not to even touch the foot of the mountain if and
otherwise they're done.
They're all in on the worship, right. You know, and the people became afraid, you know, and there's a reverence and a fear that God has and needs to have because he's holy.
That's right.
And at that point, Jesus hadn't come. Now we're under a new covenant now. And we are able, we have the veil of the temple was torn in half. Mm-hmm. God came out and he's living in us now. But back then, you know, you had to be careful in your worship, you know, when the priest would go into the temple once a year. You know,
he had a rope around him.
They had to be so careful,
yeah,
because holiness is not something that can be touched. But as we worship God now in Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we have full access to the presence of God. So we as modern day believers have such a greater advantage over the Old Testament crew in our ability to worship God and to be intimate and personal and walk into the throne room of God.
Yeah.
By the blood of Jesus. Don't get me wrong, it's not in our own merit, but Jesus has made it possible for each one of us to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, because it says that he's seeking those that will worship him that way.
Well, and that's the pivotal point there. Basically, the whole principle is, you know, putting aside being master of your own domain, master of your own life, and submitting to the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's why we worship, because of his kingship, because he is worthy, because he is holy. He deserves everything that we can give him. So we have to focus our attention on him and pivot it away from the other things that are vying for our time. Specifically as men, we need to make sure that we're doing that for our families, because we are the leaders of our household.
So sure.
Our children, our spouses, and other people that are underneath us that are looking at us, exactly as you said, the world, yeah. And then the people around us are also looking to see how are these men going to act when everything goes sideways? You know,
sure.
Where do they go? What's their purpose in their life? Are they going to crumble when things come at them sideways, or are they going to drop to their knees and say, God, this is in your hands.
Sure.
And I choose to worship you in the midst of the storm.
You.
Exactly. Is it mercy me? It's I will praise you in this storm.
Yeah.
And I will lift my hands. That's such an impactful song, because it is very, very true. And it reminds me of when Jesus was taking a nap in the boat with the disciples. He said, I'm going to take a nap. There's this crazy storm going on.
Yeah.
As we're crossing the Jordan, disciples are freaking out. And, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And he's just snoozing. He's like, I'm in the boat with you guys. You don't need to freak out.
You should have peace because I'm here.
I'm in the boat with you. And that's Christ is in the boat of our lives with us at the exact same time. So it may seem like things are going sideways and crazy, but he's still in control. So our worship should be to him. At the end of that, they did. He woke up. He's like, what are these guys doing? And he calmed the wind and the waves with a word. And that was it. And they worshiped him. They bowed
they
before him. Exactly. So it's incredible to think that we as humans, we crave to have our attention pushed at something. We want our attention. We want that worship. We want that adoration.
And look at the sports teams and how people dress up, and the rock stars.
Exactly.
And you know, it doesn't even matter. The celebrities, everybody's looking to worship
something.
It's inside of us.
That's
it's
right.
Something that we really, you know, we really need to do. It's
agreed.
Built into us. So I can see that we really just, we desire that, you know, we want to know that God is real and that he is someone to be worshiped. I mean, we're heading into the holiday season right now. It's
That's
Christmas.
Right.
And it's a time of worship. It's a time when everybody is looking to worship something. Some of them are going to worship gifts. They're going to worship, you know, parties and partying. They're going to go do all these things. You can celebrate Christmas,
of course,
and not worship,
of course,
Christ.
Yeah,
but look at the world. I mean, they're looking. You've got the Magi in this story. They were magicians. They were astrologers. They studied the sky, but they saw the star, and they said to themselves, "Where is this new king that has been born. And they knew the importance of worship. They rode their camels. Who knows how far? They said they were from the east.
Yeah. Well, years is what we assume that it took years for them to actually get there. But and here's the cool thing that I like about that is these magi, they were not of Jewish descent that we are aware of. They came from like Babylon on the other side of the Euphrates, and they still came and knew that there was this great, incredible event that was going on. And they're like, man, this is something special. And they worshiped him. That doesn't mean they just, oh, here's your gifts, here's your gold, frankincense, myrrh, and then deuces, later, what's going on? No, they bowed before him and worshiped and marveled again
as
before
king.
Him. Exactly.
You know, and that's where worship comes in. You see, we're not just worshiping for the sake of making music or doing things. When we come to church, the focus of worship should be just as the wise men came to find the king. Mm. Are people coming to church to find the king, or are they coming to find, you know, fellowship or just friendships? You know, there's a lot of great things you can find at church, but if you come and you don't find the King of Kings, Jesus himself,
you've missed
and you
it.
You don't lay your life down in that moment. You know, I wish everybody could see the importance of worship and just laying your life down, not just singing a song to God, but actually laying down your life. You know, when I preach for life change. I'm looking for people to respond to the words that God is speaking to them through my lips many times.
Right.
And I've seen that. I've seen this church growing in the last year and a half. You know, I've seen people coming alive and understanding and sharing the gospel, some of them for the first time with their friends and family. I've seen people praying for people that have never done anything like that before in their lives. And all of this is actually worship. It's actually saying, God, I'm going to believe your word. I think if we're really going to call worship anything, I would say, let's call it obedience to what the word of God says in our lives. If you want to worship God, obey him.
That's right.
You know, listen to what his word says. Do
follow
what it is he's saying. And, you
know,
I'm convicted even as I say it.
I know.
You know, because it's like, God, I want to be more worshipful in my life. I want everything in my life to be an expression of worship to you, and it's not. I'll just be honest and transparent before everybody, but I'm working on it. You know, I am trying, you know, with all of my heart to lay my whole life down, but there's always pieces that I seem to pick back up.
That's the beauty of sanctification and redemption too, though. It is a process for us. And there are, I mean, the best of the best of us will still hold on to different things and be like, no, I'm gonna hold this one for a little bit. And no, God, I don't want you to handle it. But it is that total submission.
I'll give you 98% of my life.
98%? That's a pretty high number.
I'm just
that's
saying,
pretty good.
Though,
that's
you know,
good. No, I totally understand.
100.
I know, but God wants it all. It's total submission. That the humility to sit before him and say, you are worthy of everything. Every aspect, 100% of my life, all of it, everything, my finances, my relationships, my job, my home, all of it, it all belongs to you, and I am thankful for the blessings that you have continued to just lavishly pour upon me.
Sure,
And we don't do worship so that we get blessing. Don't confuse that. But it is through his grace as a good king, as a good father, that he sees that sweet incense of our prayer, of our worship rising up to him. And he's like, I'm going to bless my kids.
Man, sure.
My kids, that makes me smile.
Yeah,
I can see him just looking at us as a father looks down on their child and is like, that's great.
Look at them go.
That's awesome. Exactly. So it's
that's
good.
Cool.
It's good.
I want to flip the script on you a little bit here. I want to talk a little bit about the war that's going on in heaven of over worship.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, Lucifer, who was the angel of worship in heaven,
right,
fell from heaven through pride, and he is in great desire of worship in this world. And he has established his you know, kingdom on top of, you know, God's kingdom. And there's a spiritual war that is going on for worship in this planet. Mm. And people are worshiping some crazy things
these days.
Tell me a little bit about your heart on how you feel, you know, we can lay down our lives and we can actually fight this battle and win. That's a better way of saying it.
So actually, I love with Mediator Ministries and God's Rock, that's an opportunity, and that's really a heart cry that I've been able to pick up and champion with you, Pastor Kevin, where we are. We're stealing back the territory that Satan is trying to claim. You made a very key point that, you know, Satan desires that worship. When he did fall, he was essentially trying to be like God. He was like, no, I want this for myself.
Yeah.
And he's trying to shift the focus and steal the focus. You had a great sermon on that, by the way. Steal the focus of God's children and the children of this earth from worshiping the Father into worshiping Him. So to make sure that we're not doing that, again, our focus, our eyes have to be firmly fixed on Jesus.
Yeah.
Firmly fixed. That's where, again, you got to get in the Word. You need to have your own worship time, your own quiet time. That is the only saving grace. That's it. It's building the relationship. Without the relationship, you're done. You can go through the motions. You can placate and even play church and do the punch hole in the box. I clip my card. I'm good to go. But that is not going to save you. It is building, again, it's relationship with Jesus. It's relationship.
Yeah. So Satan wants to have a relationship with you as well.
He does.
You know, and I do know that there's a spiritual battle going on in this world for worship. And, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you can love God or you can love money. And I think it's one of Satan's greatest tools to get worship is that he pulls people into the cash scenario. And the Bible
Working
says you can't love God and love money at the same time. You know, you'll, you know, love one and hate the other. And, you know, we've got to be so careful about how driven we are and the direction that we're trying to go and the careers that we're trying to drive into. And really just, are you asking God? Are you worshiping Him? Are you saying, God, I want you to tell me the direction that you have for my life so that I can follow you? You know, Jesus, when the disciples were around Him, He looked at them and He said, follow me.
Right.
You know, He's basically saying, I want you. I want you to be a part of me.
Right.
You know, and that's worship. Friendship is with God is worship. And God is saying, I want to show you and teach you and help you to be all that I've called you to be. I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. If you will worship me, I'll reveal that to you. If you will come to me humbly and lay your life down, you know, because we have a free will. We can do whatever we want.
That's right.
We don't have to worship God. He's given us the option. And a lot of people are taking it. So, you know, here we are talking about worship. And I want to take a quick break and then come back. And I want to hit on this topic a little bit more on free will and our ability to worship God on our own terms, because that's
awesome.
The way it works. How are you going to choose to worship God? We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
in the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Hello, everyone. Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I just wanted to take a moment and invite each and every one of you to our Christmas Eve services. It's going to be December the 24th at 4 and 5:30 p.m. here at Lighthouse Church, located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Please join us as we celebrate the joyous holidays and the birth of Jesus Christ here at our church. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, thanks to our sponsors for helping us keep the light turned on here at Turn the Light On. But Joseph, who is our worship leader here at Lighthouse Church and does an amazing job, you should come check him out some Sunday morning. We've been talking about worship today, and we've hit a lot of different little areas and different types and things, but share with us the one last little nugget of what's on your heart about worship and how it can affect those who are listening out there today.
The cool thing about this is worship doesn't just apply to us here right now while we're on this earth, in this earthly form, this physical body that we are currently in. You know, it's not going to stop either once we are taken up or to go be with Jesus, whether we die or whether Jesus comes back. You know, we're going to continue with this lifestyle that requires, you know, a willing spirit and humility. When we get there, it actually, you can look at it in Revelation 4:8. It actually says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with its eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. They're singing the praise of this mighty King. They're worshiping the King.
And it's with all those eyes, and they're worshiping Him because they see Him as He is.
His complete and total splendor, the sovereign, the kingship that He has. I know I've said that term, the sovereignty of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's the wrath. It's He's not just merciful and graceful, but there is the wrath of the King as well. So we have to remember who we're choosing to worship, what we're choosing to worship. It can be your phone. It can be a person. It can be drugs. It can be music, whatever. But we get to sit with the King when we worship Him.
Right.
We are afforded that opportunity.
Worship.
Exactly. It's being at the foot of Jesus.
I love
and just offering up your life as a sacrifice. He already sacrificed His life. What more can we do? There's nothing that would make Him smile greater than to say, you did this for me, well, now here's my life in return.
Sure. So, hey guys, this holiday season, it's our, you know, desire to see each of you worshiping God for the holidays, worshiping in spirit and in truth, because He's seeking those that'll do that. And it's powerful when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you begin to live a life of worship. The miracles that God will pour out over you are incredible. So
amazing.
We're believing for that. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and thanks for turning the light on today here on 91.5 FM. Have a good day.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.